Good morning. Why don't we turn to Mark chapter 9? We'll be going through verse 1 to 13. The actual, if you're looking at the one book, it's on page 100. And actually, the verse that's written there is wrong. It's a typo. So if you could turn to Mark 9, 1, 13, I'll actually just be reading from this book so you can follow along that way. And he said to them, "Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see that the kingdom of God has come with power." 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead could mean. Then they asked him, "Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" He said to them, "Elijah is indeed coming first to restore all things. How then is it written about the Son of Man that he is to go through many sufferings and be treated with contempt? But I tell you that Elijah has come, and they did to him whatever they pleased, as it is written about him." I'm going to read the devotional. Almost every event in the life of Jesus is portrayed in early Christian art, except this one, the Transfiguration. It is a time when heaven reached down and touched the earth. Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and brought them to the mountain. Why did Jesus pick these three men? James was to be the first apostle to die for the faith. John would be the last apostle to die. Peter was to be the one to stand up on the day of Pentecost and proclaim the significance of the Holy Spirit's outpouring. Also, these three men were going to be with Jesus during the Gethsemane experience. But perhaps there is another reason why Jesus took these men. Perhaps he needed someone to be with him. He is getting ready to go to Jerusalem to die. The time is drawing closer and he needs a friend. Being a Christian doesn't mean that you can do it alone. Jesus needed friends, and he knows that we need them too. That is why he has given us the church. Amen. So today's devotional is quite an interesting one, I think. You know, if you read the passage, it talks about the transfiguration of Jesus, but, you know, the writer of this devotion, he kind of takes a twist on it, and he starts talking about friendship, and, you know, it's interesting, but I kind of like it because, you know, the Bible can speak to you in so many different ways, and through this passage, it can even talk to you about friendship and stuff, which is extremely applicable in our lives. And as I was thinking about this passage, you know, Christian life is not easy. I think many of us know by now, you know, we've gone through our battles, we've gone through difficulties to know that. You know, it's not easy being a Christian, and anyone who tells you otherwise is, to be honest, kind of kidding themselves. And I distinctly remember a long time ago, I was reading this book. It was called Finishing Strong by Steve Farrar. And, you know, Steve Farrar, the gist of the book was to say that, oh, you know, like, as men, it was a book focused on Christian men. It says, as Christian men, you need to be men of God who will finish strong. And in this book, he kind of raises a quite alarming statistic. He says, 1 out of 10 Christian men eventually will turn away from God, right? Which is extremely alarming, because if I look around right now and I see about 10 of us guys here, that means 1 out of 10 Christians would finish strong, which means 9 out of 10 Christians at some point in their Christian life will turn away from God. And that kind of just goes to show you that, yeah, Christian life is not easy. It's difficult. We're going to be faced with so many trials, so many temptations that's going to want to, you know, turn us away from what we're walking in and what God has in store for us. And, but, you know, the good news is the fact that, you know, as the writer says here, is that Jesus never intended for us to do it alone, right? Jesus intended for us to have this church, this body of Christians, a community, brothers and sisters here who will walk alongside you, you know, who will teach you, who will inspire you, who will encourage you along your walk so that you will be able to finish strong. And, you know, as I look upon my own life, I think when I first became born again, well, not for, when I was born again about like 7 years ago, I had the privilege and the opportunity to start an accountability group here in Solomon's Porch. And, you know, at that time, you know, there's about 4 of us. And I mean, 50% of it was because we just wanted more of an excuse to hang out during the week. But, you know, the other side of it was the fact that we recognized we wanted to become better Christians, right? We didn't know what that looked like or how that was done. But we realized in order to be that, we needed help. We didn't just need, you know, I mean, obviously Sunday messages were important and we need to get that word of God. But at the same time, we needed to, you know, have a community where we can talk through things, you know, things that we're going through day by day to help us go through what we, you know, what we're going through and stuff. And, you know, a lot of who I am now, a lot of the things that I've gone through, how I've been shaped today, you know, really a lot of it goes back to this relationship and this accountability that I have. And, you know, for 7 years now, we've been, you know, we've been close, we've been meeting every week and stuff. And, you know, like, I don't think I would be, you know, walking this life and still completely committed to God without having these guys involved in my life. And, you know, a lot of people have asked, you know, how is it that you guys have been able to, over a course of 7 years, been able to maintain your accountability? Because, you know, at our church, we've had a lot of accountability groups start, a lot of groups have, you know, separated and stuff. And not to say that they're, you know, that they failed or anything, but, you know, I believe that we were successful for 3 reasons. And this morning, that's actually what I want to share with you. I want to share with you these 3 reasons because I think these 3 things are actually quite key for all of us to have if we are, you know, if we are to establish good, strong Christian, you know, friendships and relationships with one another here in the body. Okay. So, 3 things. The first thing that I recognize is important is communication. You know, a lot of us, you know, we've heard the term, you know, sharing is caring. And you're not going to be able to establish any kind of friendship, any kind of relationship, unless you talk. And, you know, I know it's kind of like obvious and stuff, but that's quite important too. If you're not sharing, if you're not talking to one another, you're not going to establish relationships. And, you know, and at the same time, communication is not just talking, right? I mean, you know, we have a lot of people, you know, I know a lot of people who are extremely good talkers. They'll talk about what's going on in their lives. They'll talk about, you know, how God is moving or what should I do and things like that. But that's just, you know, 50% of it, right? The other 50% of communication is the fact that we listen. And it's extremely important that, you know, as we develop friendships with one another, not only are we just talking, but we're also spending time to listen, to understand what the other person is going through in that sense. So communication is number one. Number two is commitment. Good friendships will require sacrifice, right? It will require you to invest your time. It will require you maybe to invest money, effort. And you'll have to serve each other. But I think, you know, that's how accountability will grow. And I think that's what's also very key for us as a body too, right? There needs to be commitment here. There needs to be a willingness to lay aside some of your own personal things for the sake of the person next to you. So these two are quite obvious, and I think many of us recognize it. This is the third thing, and I think this is one where I think a lot of people either overlook or tend not to kind of get involved with. But the third important attribute of having good, strong Christian friendships, I think, is vulnerability. I think Christian relationships can only go as deep as how willing you are to be vulnerable with one another. And I remember when we first started accountability, I mean, there was 4 of us. I said there was 4 of us. It was me, Kenny, and Stevie, and it was Nate. And when we first started this, I didn't know Pastor Nate at that time. It was pretty much, I think it was the first time we really hung out was when we started accountability. And, you know, I knew Kenny, I knew Stevie, and then I was meeting, and then we were talking with Nate, Pastor Nate, and then, you know, we were like trying to share experiences with one another, and we're trying to talk and relate, and we're very different. Like, you know, my life up to that point was extremely different from Pastor Nate's. Pastor Nate grew up in a, you know, he grew up in a Christian family. He grew up in a Christian home, went to a Christian school, went to a Christian university. And, you know, he knew the Bible really well and stuff. And there was me, Kenny, and Stevie. We were extremely good partiers. We sinned like there was no tomorrow. We loved to drink. We loved to, at that point, before we got saved, right? But we smoked and everything. So it was hard for us at first. We were like, oh, is this really going to work, accountability? Because we don't really know each other. But I remember what really broke all that kind of mindsets was when we were sharing one time. I won't tell you what we were sharing about because it's private. But I remember out of the blue, Pastor Nate suddenly brings up a topic that guys don't really talk about. And he was saying, talking about these struggles that he was going with. And, you know, at that point, we were kind of like, me, Stephen, Kenny, we're like talking about girls. We're like, yeah, I like this girl. Yeah, how can we do it the right Christian way and stuff? But then Nate really opened himself up, and he kind of revealed who he truly was and the things that he was going through. And he said, yeah, that's the kind of thing I'm going through, and that's the kind of thing I need help. And I think that really set the tone for our accountability group. It made us realize we're not going to become close. We're not going to be able to help each other. We're not going to be able to speak into each other's lives unless we are willing to shed away the pride, you know, shed away the pretense and the false image of who we are and really start being real with ourselves and with each other and saying, this is who we are. These are the things that we deal with. And I need help. And then, you know, if you'll come alongside me, we can go through these things together. So yeah, I think those are the three key things that we all need, right? I think if we are to be a good, strong body of believers where we are really, truly loving each other as brothers and sisters, we need to have communication. There needs to be a commitment. And thirdly, which I think is most important, we need to know how to be honest and vulnerable to each other as well. And it's quite short, it's quite simple. But I mean, so, you know, some of you might be like, okay, Tom, you know, I believe you. I think, you know, Christian friendships are important. You know, I need to have some of that. But how do I do that at Solomon's Porch, right? Like, how do I establish good friendships here in Solomon's Porch? And I think, you know, coming from someone who's been at this church since it was the beginning to now, like, so that's a good nine years at Solomon's Porch. I just want to share with you some of the tips, you know, some of my observations that I've seen to see how I've seen, like, you know, friendships growing at the church. And I want to share these with you because, you know, it might be obvious, but I think there are tips that are quite important, right? So here's how to, this is like a 101 on how to make friends at SP, okay? So point one, right? Stick around after service, right? You're never going to get to meet anyone unless you're actually there, right? So that's point number one. That's tip number one. Tip number two is talk to someone. Sometimes we're shy, and I understand that. I know, you know, sometimes we're embarrassed. Like, we're like, oh, I don't, you know, they seem to be talking in a conversation. Do I want to go in there and just say hello? Is that weird? Are people going to think I'm weird for just saying hello? My name is Tom or anything? No, people won't. And even if people did, I think when you keep getting to know the person, that perception will change anyways, right? So talk to someone. Don't be afraid to talk to someone. Tip number three. Our church loves to eat. If you haven't known that yet, we love to eat. And I guarantee you that after second service, there will be a group of people that will say, hey, you want to go eat something? Yeah, let's go eat something. If you want to get in on it, just, you know, feel free. It's not an exclusive thing or anything. Just if you're hungry, which most of us always are, just say, hey, do you mind if I join? And there you go. That's number three. And then number four, which I think is probably the best way that you can establish good, strong Christian friendships here in Solomon's Porch. It's not like a plug or anything, but it's to join a house church, right? There is no better place where you will be able to exercise all of these things at your house church. House church will be a place where you're able to communicate with people, where you can share, where you can listen, where you'll be able to commit yourselves to, where you'll be able to serve with one alongside. It's a place where you'll also be able to share a meal, right, which is important. It'll also be a place, what else did I say? It's also a place where you'll be able to be vulnerable too, right? And, you know, like in my house church, I always pray for that. Every house church meeting that we have, when it comes to the time of prayer, I'm always praying for people, you know, to have courage to open up, for courage to people to share, to listen. for the ability to step into being vulnerable to one another, because I think that's extremely key, right? Extremely key to really have a, you know, strong friendship with people here. And, you know, I recommend you guys, you know, I encourage you guys, if you haven't joined a house church yet, really check it out. I guarantee you that you're going to establish long-term, meaningful friendships as you join this. And as long as you commit to it, as you communicate, and as you make yourselves vulnerable too, right? And that's just it. I mean, it's a weird topic because we just read about the transfiguration of Jesus, and now we're talking about friendship and stuff. But, you know, that's, God operates in mysterious ways, and I think I think the message is applicable too. So, yeah, that's all I wanted to share. So why don't we take some time? Why don't we just close our eyes this morning? So again, you know, I know the Christian life isn't easy. The Christian life is tough. But the good news is that Jesus never intended for us to do this alone, right? And, you know, I talk about it in my accountability guys a lot, and, you know, I'll just share with you one more thing about them. But every time I think about my accountability guys, we call ourselves BIC. You know, the picture that I always get is a passage from Exodus, right? It's a passage of Moses when, you know, Israel goes to fight Amalek. And, you know, God calls Moses to go there. And, you know, Moses raises his hand. And when Moses raises his hand during this battle, the people of Israel are winning. But when his hands come down, you know, his people are losing. And so when Moses gets so tired, he has Aaron on one side, he has Hur on one side. And what Aaron and Hur does is they come alongside him and they lift his hands, right, so that they will be able to go through this battle together. And, you know, if you read the passage, it says, when they lifted his hands, he held them steady until sunset came. And I think that's extremely important because I see these guys as my Aaron and I see them as my Hur. I see them as brothers when it's time to go into battle, when it's time when I'm weak and I'm tired, that I know that they will be beside me, lifting my hands, keeping me steady, so that I am able to finish strong until sunset. And so that when I can look, you know, back on my life, you know, when it's all done, I can say, yeah, I finished strong. But I finished strong because I had these guys alongside me. And I think it's important for us as a church, too, that we have those kinds of people here, right? It's important that we have those kinds of people who will help us, you know, on our journey of faith. So as we have our eyes closed and as we just, you know, take some time for reflection, you know, let's just do an honest heart check, you know? Have we established good relationships here? Have we established good friendships here? Why or why not? You know, maybe you're a little worried about communicating or speaking to people. Maybe you're worried about that commitment part. And maybe you're really worried about the vulnerability part. But I just wanted to encourage you guys this morning to take that risk, because you're not going to regret it. And it's going to be it's so rewarding and fulfilling to walk along this race together with someone by your side. So let's just take some time to pray about that. Fire.
removed our transgressions from us. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. And praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord.
Why don't we take some time to pray for the author of today's devotional. His name is Edmund Teo, and he's a senior pastor at International Christian Assembly out in North Point. Let's pray for him, first him and his family. He has, his wife's name is Yvonne, and they have two children, Charisse and Caleb. Let's just pray that, you know, that they would be a loving family, a godly family, and that they would have all these elements, you know, communication, commitment, and vulnerability amongst themselves. And let's also lift up the leaders of the church at ICA as well. Let's pray that all of them, you know, would just have a vision from God to lead this church in 2012. And let's pray for the community just to follow and to be excited for those plans and to really, you know, go together united and to see and to accomplish all that God has in store for them this year. Yeah, let's just pray for this church. Let's turn to our community focus this morning. Let's pray for all those people we know, you know, friends and family members of our body who are sick and going through things like cancer, who are going through chemo. The names are up there and the sickness is up there. Let's spend some time just praying that God would really come, that he would touch them, that he would just heal them, that they would just be able to serve as a testimony of God's faithfulness. And let's pray that, you know, for the family members, you know, it's a tough time, it's a rough time, you know, to have to go through this. And let's just pray for a greater amount of peace, for grace, and for strength for them to just keep fighting, you know, like to keep pushing through and not to give up hope. So let's lift up our community. Let's continue on with our community. Let's pray for those who are also sick, but also who need to hear the word of God. Let's pray for those who are also dealing with infirmities. And let's also lift up those brothers and sisters in our own body who are still looking for jobs. Let's just pray that God will just provide the most perfect job for them. Let's pray. Let's go to our missions focus. Let's pray for the local ministries here in Hong Kong. Let's pray for all the churches that are here, that they would have their own strategic vision that has been given to them from God, that they would understand where God wants to position them here in Hong Kong and how to minister to the people here. Let's pray for the people at YOM. Let's pray for SSI, Sports Services International. Let's pray for Godwin at Shanti, for Fabi and Frank at Masters Beauty. Let's pray for Jimmy and Janice at Face to Face. Pray for Almond at Jensen College. Pray for Armand at Feed the Hungry. And let's pray for Neil at CSW. Let's lift up all of these ministries here in Hong Kong. Let's also pray for the ministries that we have here at Solomon's Porch. Let's pray for the worship team. We're starting a new set of rotations this month. We have new people who have come alongside and joined us this season. Let's pray that they will really fit in and they would just have a heart of worship for the Lord. And let's pray that, you know, as a worship team, that their number one, you know, job would be to worship God, that they would worship, you know, that they would lead other people into worship as well, and that they would be able to really usher in the presence of God when they're up here on stage leading us. Let's also lift up the sound and media team. Let's pray that God will just continually bring people with such skills and with the technical abilities to, you know how to take us to the next level. Let's pray for the welcoming and hospitality team. Let's pray that God will bring people who have just a heart and a joy to serve other people. And let's just pray for those, you know, it's one of those ministries that can easily get tiring and stuff because it requires a lot of commitment. Let's just pray that God will give them a double dosage, you know, of strength and of joy as well. And let's also lift up the barista ministry as well. Let's pray for more people to come join this as well. And then finally, let's also lift up McCain House Church, who is meeting tonight. Let's lift up the leaders, Jimmy, Boyoung, and KJ. Let's pray that they will just have a fantastic time to discuss. Let's pray that, you know, people, when they're there, that they'll be, you know, open, that they'll be sharing with one another, that they'll be talking, they'll be opening up their lives to one another, and they will continually establish good, strong, foundational Christian fellowship, friendships and relationships in that place. Let's also lift up all the activities that are going on at church this weekend. Let's pray for the intercessory prayer team who will be meeting. Let's pray for Noah's Ark. Let's pray for Sunday service. Let's pray for the message from PSAM. Let's pray also. Actually, also tomorrow there will be a house church leaders meeting in the morning. Please pray for them. There's also a women's fellowship that's happening. And for all you women, if you haven't signed up yet, please do so. It's going to be amazing on spiritual gifts. And then also, of course, on Sunday, we have our town hall after second service at 4:30. And I think, you know, it's town hall is an extremely important time for us as a community body to get together. It's a time where you can hear from the leaders about the vision of our church, where we're currently standing, where we want to move forward towards. And it's a good place for us to come together and to ask the questions, you know, to be on the same page. And so, you know, I highly, you know, encourage you guys. You know, I'm stopping short of expecting you guys to be there, but I'm saying I highly encourage you guys to come out, hear what other people have to say, because this is, you know, part of your family, and it's important that you're there as well. So let's just pray for all these things. So, Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the week that we've had and for bringing it to a close. We thank you that, God, Father, even though we recognize that at times, you know, living this Christian life hasn't been easy and it's not going to be easy at all times, we recognize that. But thank you, God, for bringing people into our lives, a community, a body who will walk alongside us, who will strengthen us, who will lift up our hands when we need to lift them up, Lord God, Father, when we need to battle through times of difficulty. And I pray, Father, for every single one of my brothers and sisters here, Lord God, that today that they will choose to really, you know, make that extra effort to establish those kinds of relationships, that they will make that effort to step out, you know, step out of their comfort zone to talk to people, to meet with people, to open up to people. And I pray that, God, you would give them courage and that, God, that you would just bless them, that you would just show, you know, such, you would just really bring forth such fruitful relationships and friendships as they do this, Lord God. I pray, would you watch over them today, God Father, every day, every moment of their time, Lord God Father, may they fix their eyes upon you. May they consistently, Lord God Father, look to you for guidance and wisdom to handle about the day's business. We pray, Lord God, that you would give them such wisdom to make the right decisions, the godly decisions today. And Lord God, not to fear man, not to fear what other people may think, not to get caught up in the circumstances of what's going on around them, but to always just remember who you are and to hear your voice, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. We pray. Get us excited for this weekend. A lot of things going on, but also get us excited for the town hall that's coming up, Lord. So we just thank you, Lord God. And in your precious son's name we pray. Amen.